It is a pity that we do not have the whole episode of Naaman's healing in today's first reading, because the episode starts with a slave girl, a Jewish slave girl, giving Naaman the advice to consult Elisha, the prophet and successor of Elijah. Now just think of that for a moment. A slave girl captured in war, most probably captured because the rest of her family had been slaughtered in front of her, the slave of an arrogant soldier of a nation which had set out to conquer and subdue Israel. And she gives the general advice on how to be healed. Certainly, I think if I were in the position of that slave girl, I would have rather have thought, good for him, he's now a leper, let him just die in his own misery and see what it feels like to be in such pain and distress as I have been put by being abducted, by having my family killed. I would have sought revenge. But the slave girl seeks health and wholeness for her captor, for somebody she should, in fact, humanly speaking, hate with a passion. And Naaman remains arrogant through all of it when finally he does come to the prophet Elisha, once again after the king has been given advice to go to Elisha, because firstly the king gets very nervous with his foreign general and wonders what plot has been set up and what conspiracy there is if he's been asked to heal the general and so forth and so on. It gets to be quite soap opera and dramatic at points, that story. But once again, on the advice of a courtier, of a subordinate, Elisha is pointed out as the source of healing. And he gives Naaman the advice to bathe in the Jordan. Now, one of the things that stands out about the Jordan in my own memory, when I was privileged to simply pick up a bus tour in Jerusalem and go to the northern site of the baptism of Jesus, known also as the Protestant site of the baptism. As we drew near to the Jordan, the guide on the bus told us about all the mystical and marvelous qualities of the Jordan, how the Jordan has a mystical meaning for people of Israel, even until today, how so much healing has been attributed to the River Jordan, how Naaman himself was cured by the Jordan, and of all its mystical significance. And as the bus drew to a stop at the baptismal site, she said, please remember not to drink the water because it's toxic. Well, it's been toxic for a very, very, very long time. And Naaman objected to having to immerse in this toxic water when his own home place had perfectly good rivers in which he could bathe if that was necessary. But he gives in eventually and bathes in the river and is cured. He is cured because of the word of somebody who should, humanly speaking, have hated him with a passion. And this is echoed then in today's gospel, where the 10 lepers who are cured, 9 of them simply go away shrugging, okay, we're cured. And one, a Samaritan, a hated outsider, comes to thank Jesus. The antipathy between Samaritans and people of Judah was mutual, it was deep, and it is lasting. And yet it is this outsider, this one whom, humanly speaking, should have hated Jesus and hated him even more for doing the cure, because it certainly shows up the Samaritan's abilities to cure people, he comes and gives the word of thanks. How often has it not happened in our own lives that people for whom we've developed a passionate dislike have turned out to be a source of grace in our lives, to even be a source of inspiration and of wisdom? And that's a very difficult thing. It's a difficult thing to cope with the goodwill of our enemies, and it is a difficult thing to develop goodwill towards our enemies. Yet it is absolutely necessary if there is to be a mutual healing of the peoples of the world. Imagine if Obama had sent Bin Laden to some place to be healed if Bin Laden had been ill. Imagine health and wholeness arising from the antipathies in Egypt, the culture wars in the United States, the civil wars in so many African countries, the tribal disaffinities which exist even in Europe in a place like Belgium. What if all those can be overcome by a simple act of goodwill in which we point each other to healing? And certainly for us as Christians, it is the call to hold hands as we approach the greatest and most profound healing of all, the well of faith that has its origin in Jesus Christ. The Gospel episode and Naaman's episode out of the Book of Kings, his encounter with Elisha, center around the hated outsider who is grateful, who comes to insight and thanksgiving at the hands of enemies. Isn't that a greater goal to achieve with all our so-called enemies? Here in South Africa, we are starting a week of action under the guidance of the South African Catholic Bishops' Conference against corruption and exploitation in the state and in its various members, the various organs of state. Corruption is as endemic here as it is in most other countries anyway. But we often feel that we can overcome corruption by accusing, by bringing to book, and all these things. But together the society needs a profound healing to heal from the temptation of corruption, to have the proper salaries and the proper training in place to make of people not only servants, but civil servants at all the depths of what that word civil means. And when we confront, or encounter rather, corruption and bribery and all these manifestations of human brokenness, shouldn't we rather point people on the way to health and to wholeness, even as we feel an antipathy towards them, even as we feel a humanly understandable fear or hatred? Should we not rather follow the example of the Samaritan, the hated outsider who comes to give thanks to Christ? The example of that unnamed servant girl who gives Naaman the advice for him to experience healing. What we do not need, really, is further accusation and incrimination. What we need is the mutual healing, the healing from our prejudices, the healing that allows us to encounter each other as children of God, the healing that will bring about peace in the face of violence, and justice in the face of injustice. Amen.